Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome to the program tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Boy, he did it again today, didn't he? Every single day, George Bush. Now it's comparing Democrats to Nazis. Son of a Nazi appeaser. Son of a bitch. I'm getting really, really fed up with this guy. Gee, Mike. If you want to see my take on it, and you can do this every day, you'll find something interesting at our little mini blog site at MikeMalloy.com. It's also linked to NovaMRadio.com, so you can go there too. But if you go to MikeMalloy.com, usually about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, not that you have anything more important to do, of course, and give you an idea of what we might talk about that night or whatever. Probably 7 out of 10 of them I write, 3 out of 10 Kathy writes. But today's, I think it was interesting, even though I wrote it, with all due humility. And you can comment. I don't know how many people realize, but the Nova M Radio website now, you have a message board for Randy, message board for me. But on the blog site, I think Randy blogs, I'm not sure. But on mine, on the blog site, Mike Malloy blog site, you can comment on what I've written there. And it's a good place for all the right-wing weasels to cluster and make snotty, ignorant remarks if they choose to. But anyway, check it out, MikeMalloy.com. And the daily blog. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. One of the breaking stories late today was the fact that the California Supreme Court declared that gay couples in that state can, oh my God, get married. Now, it's being referred to as a monumental but short-lived victory for the gay rights movement because the religious nutballs in California, the real fruits and nuts out there, are pressing to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot in November that would undo the Supreme Court ruling and ban gay marriage. These sons of bitches never stop, do they? They never, ever, ever stop. Can you imagine living your life dedicated to the idea of stopping two other people from getting married? I mean, what a shallow, wasted life. You get up in the morning, and the first thought in your mind is, "Well, I got to stop the queers from marrying." You go to bed at night, and the last thought before you roll over and kiss some part of your wife's anatomy goodnight or your husband's anatomy goodnight, and you say, "Well, I've got to wake up in the morning and stop the queers from getting married." James Dobson is one of those people. He's chairman of the Christian group Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family. We're going to focus on the phallus, or focus on the family. Dobson is the one that says, in order to stop homosexuality dead in its tracks, fathers ought to take their prepubescent sons into the shower with them while daddy showers up and lathers himself, and that somehow this is going to interfere with whatever genetic predisposition a male might have to become homosexual. He doesn't say that mommy should take daughters into the shower and lather up her private parts to prevent little Sally from becoming a lesbian. I don't know where that comes from. I thought James Dobson had a degree in what? Rat extermination? Oh, no, that's right. He's a psychologist. take your 10-year hey dad, take your 10-year-old into the shower, get naked, and then he won't be a queer. Anyway, Dobson had a statement today. He called the ruling an outrage. What a twisted little bastard he is. I mean, isn't he? Isn't Dobson just a twisted sister? This guy is so much of a freak. And so many of these Christian conservatives that way, like Bill Bennett. Oh, we've got something for you from Bill Bennett and Joe Lieberman. A couple of white guys sitting around talking. Wait till you hear this. Anyway, Dobson said, it'll be up to the people of California to preserve traditional marriage by passing a constitutional amendment. Only then can they protect themselves from this latest example of judicial tyranny.
Son of a bitch!
Traditional marriage, is two people making a legal binding contract, you dumbass. That's all it is. Now, if they want to take one step further and get married in the Christian church, have the Christian church sanctify, there are very few branches of the Christian church that will do that. But, Mr. Dobson, I hate to inform you, marriage is a legal contract. It has nothing to do with your putrid religious beliefs, or in fact, in the United States anyway, it doesn't have anything to do with any religious beliefs. It has to do with a contract between person A and person B to plight their troth, whatever the hell that means. Is that plight, P-L-A-I-T, like braid, their troth? What's a troth? Did we plight our troth? Kathy, what did we do? You wrote some nonsense for our wedding. We got married by a guy who was a former restaurant owner.
You left out the most colorful part.
What was that? Oh, no, no, don't even say it. Oh, yeah, he's the only actor friend of mine who had ever been accused of murder in the state of Georgia and released on bond. And it turned out it was justifiable homicide, but that's a long story. But did we plate our troth?
I have no idea. I barely remember the day. Apparently, I was coming down with the flu and didn't realize it until the next morning when I couldn't get out of bed. I was running on nervous energy.
That's true.
That's when I demanded you marry me before we moved to Chicago. We had 2 weeks to get the whole wedding together.
I know, and you did a good job. All right.
And then I paid for it for the next 2 weeks.
But I just wondered if we plated our troth. In the 4-3 ruling in California, California High Court. By the way, the four who ruled in favor of this are all Republicans. In the 4-3 ruling, the Republican-dominated High Court struck down state laws against same-sex marriage and said domestic partnerships that provide many of the rights and benefits of matrimony are not enough. Why is this so hard for twisted sisters like Mr. Dobson to understand? You can't, you dumb bastard, have two sets of laws. Here's a set of laws for these people. Here's a set of laws for these people. One of my daughters was born in Richmond, Virginia, when my wife at the time and I lived there. At the time my daughter was born there, it was illegal in the state of Virginia for whites and coloreds, as they put it, to get married. It was only when my daughter was about a year old that law was struck down. Why is it so hard for certain people to understand that you can't have two sets of laws? Here's a set of laws for the queers. Here's a set for the Negroes. Here's another set for the immigrants, the illegal ones and the legal ones. Here's another set for these people. Here's some more for... you can't do that, Mr. Dobson. You can't do that. I can't wait until the day that James Dobson's computer is snatched by the feds and all the kiddie porn there becomes a matter of public knowledge. Not the kiddie porn, but the fact that he loves it, just like Limbaugh. Chief Justice Ronald George wrote for the court, for the majority, and this guy was appointed by a Republican. I don't know who appointed him, but it was a Republican. Quote, in contrast to earlier times, our state now recognizes that an individual's capacity to establish a loving and long-term committed relationship with another person and responsibly to care for and raise children does not depend on the individual's sexual orientation, end quote. Wow. Put that in your Bible and read it, Mr. Dobson. Now, California, of course, has an estimated, I think it's close to 100,000 same-sex couples. There are 38 million people who live there. So this is certainly a victory for a minority that otherwise would not have any voice. And somebody ought to tell Dobson that's what a democratic republic is all about. Majority rules, but only insofar as the rights of the minority are protected and respected. Randy Thomason of VoteYesMarriage.com, another right-wing nutball organization, and they're the ones that are campaigning to amend the California Constitution to ban gay marriage, said this decision, Randy, I love that name, said this decision was in effect telling children that they have a new role model, homosexual marriage, and they are to aspire to it. He added, this is a disaster, end quote. No, Randy, you are a disaster.
marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage.
You can come up and pet the turkey if you want to.
Brother, you can't have one without the other.
All right, it says here, Kathy, we plighted our troth. That means we made a verbal commitment to get married. Plighted, not plighted. We plighted our troth. Oh, my God. Yes?
It will be the last time you plight your troth, right? You're quitting now. You've taken the cure?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
I've plighted too many
plighted
troths.
Plighted for the last time. No more troughing.
Too many troths have been plighted.
Pulled up to the troth once too often.
Once too often. I'm out of plights. Out of troths to plight, I should say. Oh, God. This is from whom? Oh, this is from Kay in Kent, Washington. She writes, I listen to Mike Malloy almost every night as Mike is my favorite host because he is full of venom for the Republican corrupt party. Mike can be quite good about animals in spite of living in Georgia. However, I object to the statement that he would no more vote for Hillary than vote for a goddamn dog. Can we please leave the dogs out of it? I think it's enough that about 4 million of them are euthanized every year in this country since no one wants them. I will continue to listen. I love the show, but I also love dogs. Thanks. Keep slamming the worst president administration since before George Washington, Kay in Kent, Washington. It was a throwaway line. I love dogs, too. I really am. I am an animal lover, except for rodents. I just can't find anything cuddly about them. And that's why this is, Kay, don't be freaked out, but that's why I occasionally will, load up one of my low-caliber rifles and pick off rats and, But anyway, that was a good quote. That was a direct quote. A goddamn dog. She got that right. And I'll bet Kay never talks that way. Way to go, Kay. I appreciate it. David Swanson, writing at After Downing Street today, pointed out the fact that today the U.S. House voted no and blocked George Bush and Nancy Pelosi's latest proposal to throw another $170 billion into the occupation of Iraq. Yeah, they did. The vote against this funding of the continuation of this murder and mayhem of our people and their people and the continuing support that George Bush and his crapheads are giving to terrorists and insurgents. The vote happened in large part because ordinary people pressured their representatives, David Swanson says, to vote no. So maybe there is something to, I respect what David Swanson says. You know, he's one of the founders of After Downing Street. Yeah, an excellent activist. So if he says it, it's probably true. American citizens pressured their representatives to vote no. In the final count, 149 Democrats voted no, and 132 pissy, cowardly Republicans voted present. See, they couldn't bring themselves to vote no. They wouldn't vote yes, because these are ones that are facing re-election. And they smell the stench that is coming from the White House and how it's permeating all the precincts back in the home district about this filthy invasion and occupation. So rather than, the Republicans are starting to act like Democrats, displaying absolutely zero courage. Well, today, for some reason, 149 Democrats found their spines and voted no. Along with 132 Republicans, cowardly pants pissers that they are, voted present. Present, I'm present. Hello. Now, there were also 12 members who did not vote, and only 141 in the entire U.S. House of Representatives who voted yes. Now, as Swanson points out, The possibility remains here that we're being played for fools and that many of those who voted no or voted present intend to make a lot of noise about it and then turn around and try to quietly vote yes on a different version of the same bill cooked up by Pelosi or John Boehner or some of these other thugs in the House, or on a version that comes back from the Senate for final approval, yada, 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 yada. But as Swanson points out, that might be even more reason to send that next in an unending stream of emails to your representatives saying don't vote for more funding. You know, we talked about this last night. The Democrats have the power to end this war, essentially end it, fundamentally end it, yesterday, today, tomorrow, just by the power of their authority to end the financing, the funding of this genocide, this atrocity, this murderous rampage. The Dick Cheney and George Bush and the rest of these thugs are just enjoying as though it were, oh, I don't know what, a golf game? So anyway, the corporate media is giving the Republicans credit for blocking the vote. Can you believe that? I've got one more thing to say about that when we come back, so stick around. That's nonsense, of course. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Tractor sexy.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 25 before the hour. And by the way, if you want to get some information on how to continue to apply the pressure to members of Congress who should be operating out of a sense of ethical behavior or morality or good conscience and can't seem to, can only respond if enough pressure is applied. I'm talking about the refusal of the House today to move forward. The next $100-plus billion that Bush wants to continue the slaughter in Iraq. If you want more information on how to keep the pressure on, there's several websites you can go to, afterdowningstreet.org, but also unitedforpeace.org, unitedforpeace.org. They have all the email addresses and the phone numbers that you would need in order to keep the pressure on. So go to either of those websites, unitedforpeace.org or afterdowningstreet.org. So anyway, corporate media is quickly giving, as David Swanson reports today, the corporate media is giving the Republicans credit for blocking the vote, even though 132 Republicans didn't have the courage. I'm surprised they stayed in the chamber and didn't say, Mr. Speaker, listen, I have to go to the bathroom. Can I have a hall pass? No, you don't have to send a page with me. 132 of these thugs voted present. Rather than voting the way they usually do, yes, more blood, more death, more destruction, more money for the military-industrial corporate complex, or voting no, realizing that what they have to this point supported with their votes has been nothing less than a national catastrophe. But Republicans, being Republicans, just voted present. I'm present. Hello. Yeah, I'm present. Oh. And with all that, mainstream media is giving the Republicans credit for blocking the vote. As David Swanson writes, this is nonsense. The vote was blocked by 149 Democrats finally doing the right thing. And Swanson says we should thank them immediately. We should thank each other for having moved them. We should contact the media and praise them. We should have flowers delivered to their offices on Friday. And with great respect to David and afterdowningstreet.org, my question is a screeching, clawing why? Why should we do this? Now, I know the answer that would come from someone who has taken maybe two courses in Psych 101, you reinforce right behavior. You know, we do that with Molly. We do it with a three-year-old. For Christ's sake, these are adults. These are members of Congress. These are members of the legislative branch of the U.S. government. These are professionals in the only profession granted protection by the U.S. Constitution. And we have to powder and diaper their asses, too? Send them flowers? I realize David Swanson may be speaking metaphorically, but why has it come to this? That we have to reinforce right behavior by members of Congress with congratulatory letters and emails. No letters. They probably still think it's full of anthrax. This is the part that drives me crazy. Not against David Swanson. I realize why he's saying what he is. He understands, as you do, as I do, that these candy-ass bastards have to be pampered and powdered when they do something right! So. I lose patience. I really do. I don't know how, people who are much more patient than I manage to hold on to their patience. People, obviously, like David Swanson, bless his heart. But anyway. Let me just get my breath for a second. See, I'm doing it again, am I not? I'm just getting very screamy and upset. And I wanted to save the screaming until this thing about Bush and the Israeli Knesset. Yeah, I can hold on a little longer. A.E. writes in, regarding the ruling by the California Supreme Court today about same-sex marriage and second-class citizenship and so on and so forth, and how that is, honest to Christ, illegal. You can't do that here. You have to have everybody on the same playing field. Honest, that's just the way it goes. A.E. writes in, with Mitt Romney and other Mormons in the news so much lately, do you or any of the listeners know what polygamists think of laws allowing non-traditional marriage? Yeah, right. Oh, Bill Bennett has a radio show. I don't know who syndicates him. Another one of these scum-sucking media conglomerates that were handed a defeat today, by the way. We'll try to get to that tonight. We may not get to it until tomorrow. But Bill Bennett, Mr. Stop Me Before I Gamble Away My Children's College Funds, the former drug czar, and the former, was it Reagan era, or was it Reagan or Pappy Bush? Doesn't matter, don't email me. He was the former Secretary of Education, Bill Bennett. Oh, my God. He has a radio program now, talk radio. And I hate this because I've been in it for 25 years, but talk radio becomes the sewage holding pit for Republicans when they have, people like Oliver North, people like, you know the list. But that's what talk radio has become, a cistern, a sewage holding, a dumping ground for Republicans/Nazis who, I don't know, are disgraced to the point where they've got to have something, some toehold in the public spotlight, so they go to talk radio. And there are enough right-wing talk radio syndicators and networks around to put these scum suckers to work. Well, Bennett is one of them. And the other day, or was it today, Kathy? Was it today? I think it was today. Holy Joe Lieberman called into Bill Bennett's radio show, and they both had a little kind of, here, you tickle mine and I'll tickle yours, kind of back and forth, as they applauded Hillary Rodham Clinton for throwing back shots of liquor and threatening to obliterate Iran. I can just imagine these two, Lieberman and Bennett, in a Turkish bath somewhere, right? Huh? Can you? Here, sit over here, Joe. Okay. Oh, Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, Bennett praised what he claimed was Hillary's transformation into his, Bennett's, style of politician.
Three things. She's found her voice.
Yeah.
He is very much in the background now. It's not this, you know, ventriloquial thing. It's definitely her voice.
That's true.
And Joe, I, you know, this is my style. This is a girl that puts on her pearls, goes down, throws down a shot of liquor, and bombs Iran, you know? This is, look out, Mrs. Bennett. This is my kind of girl.
It does have an appeal to
it. Yeah,
it does. Mrs. Lieberman is right next to me here. I'll be careful.
All right, Hadassah, yeah, no, she's got no worries.
Hadassah has no worries because we know about you, Holy Joe. You would do the same thing, you cowardly little twit. But can you imagine, Bill? Now, Bill Bennett is one of those chicken hawks, along with Joe Lieberman. When their time came to go kill people and break things, they went and hid someplace. No, that's all right. I'm studying for the priesthood. No, I have a carbuncle on my ass. No, I want to be a rabbi. No, I'm out of here. Sorry. Somebody else go do it. So here they are. They give Hillary credit. She has found her voice. And Bennett says he is very much in the background now. He being the big dog. Bennett says it's not this, you know, ventriloquial thing. Ventriloquial. That's an interesting word. It's definitely her voice. And Lieberman said, play it again. Lieberman says, that's true. And then they talk about, look out, Mrs. Bennett. Bill Bennett says that. Look out, Mrs. Bennett. This is my kind of girl. I may, you know, throw down on Hillary and just walk away from you, bitch. And Lieberman answers, yeah, Mrs. Lieberman is right here with me. Listen to this, these two pukes.
Three things. She's found her voice.
Yeah.
He is very much in the background now. It's not this, you know, ventriloquial thing. It's definitely her voice.
That's true.
And Joe, this is my style. This is a girl that puts on her pearls, goes down, throws down a shot of liquor, and bombs Iran, you know? This is look out, Mrs. Bennett. This is my kind of girl.
It does have an appeal to it.
Yeah,
Mrs. Lieberman is right next to me here. I'll be careful.
All right, Hadassah, yeah, no, she's got no worries.
Oh, Jesus. Have I mentioned, yeah, I have many, many times. But the big news today, of course, is what the quote, president, end quote, of the United States did, what he said as he addressed the Israeli parliament in their celebration of 60 years of suppression of the Palestinian people. We'll share a bit of that with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
I walked 40 miles to the old crossroads. Tried to buy back my soul. Bet it all on just one road. Pair of snake eyes looking cold. When you lose, it's only fair. The Lord don't hear no gambler's prayer.
About 10 before the hour, as I wrote today, I'm a Democrat. That's a difficult place to be politically. It really is. Leadership of my party, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know how I feel about that. They refuse to honor the law. My party, the leadership of my party, refuses to respect the U.S. Constitution and the will of the majority of Americans. And as a consequence, they are refusing to show minimal respect for the hundreds of thousands of fighting men and women who died really trying to assure at least the chance that justice and decency might be the clockwork that drives this society. That's why I feel so enraged sometimes at the Democratic Party leadership. They're Democrats in name only, and they turn my stomach. It's difficult to remain a Democrat. It's a constant struggle for me because the leaders of my party refuse to indict the war criminal who's now operating as the president of the United States and indict his co-conspirators. These sons of bitches can't even get Karl Rove to appear. I know, John Conyers and some of the other members of the House Judiciary Committee are threatening to have the House Sergeant Arms or whoever it is go arrest him. Arrest him. They should do more to Karl Rove than arrest him. This is a rat who is gnawing at the foundations of this country. The leaders of my party also refuse to expose and condemn the Republican members of Congress who spent the past 7 years further corrupting this society, assaulting our already weakened reputation to a dedication of a dedication to justice, and eroding what remains of the now almost non-existent claim that we used to have to global moral leadership. In other words, all congressional Republicans. But all this is nothing, nothing compared to the latest outrage from this destructive, warmongering sociopath George Bush. This guy who, by any definition, is a war criminal. By definitions, we put in place in Nuremberg, Germany, after World War II. Our definitions, George Bush is a war criminal. He's in Israel, helping that state celebrate 60 years of its existence. And during a speech, you know it was written by Bush because he demonstrates constantly his functional illiteracy. But in the speech, he compares Democrats to Nazi appeasers during the years immediately prior to World War II. Does he not know that his grandfather provided the money to the Nazis to build the death camps, to bring in the Zyklon B gas, to end the lives of 6 million Jews, and there George Bush stands in the parliament of the Jewish state talking about Democrats being Nazi appeasers when this foul, stinking son of a bitch's family, his family, provided the wherewithal to murder 6 million Jews. Shame on the Knesset. Shame on the Likud party who let this filthy, foul bastard into its building to say what he said. Shame on them. Shame. But the Likudniks don't know shame. Shame to the Likudniks is not even a word. It's nothing. Feh. It doesn't exist. But there he stood. Bush said that Barack Obama and Democrats favor a policy of appeasement toward terrorists. Bush was comparing Obama to other U.S. leaders back in the run-up to World War II who appeased the Nazis. He said, as Nazi tanks crossed into Poland in 1939, an American senator declared, "Lord, if only I could have talked to Hitler, all this might have been avoided." That senator, by the way, was a Republican, but that's beside the point. He went on to say, "We have an obligation to call this what it is. The false comfort of appeasement." You dirty bastard. Now, while he's saying this, he doesn't understand that his own Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, just yesterday said that the United States needs to, quote, sit down and talk with Iran. Gates said, quote, "We need to figure out a way to develop some leverage and then sit down and talk with them. We can't go to a discussion and be completely the demander with them not feeling that they need anything from us," end quote. Barack Obama issued this statement, quote, "It is sad that President Bush would use a speech to the Knesset, to launch a false political attack. It is time to turn the page on 8 years of policies that have strengthened Iran and failed to secure America." So the grandson of a traitorous son of a bitch who helped finance the Nazi death camps. The grandson of the man who provided money to the rising star of the German Reich, Adolf Hitler, who one supposes used the money to build the death camps and bring in the barrels of Zyklon B. The grandson of that son of a bitch had the nerve to stand in the Israeli parliament today and say what he said about Democrats. You're talking about me, you rat bastard. Some of this stuff is beyond my ability to handle. It really is. It really is. What will it take before the people of this country finally rid themselves of this immeasurably degenerate Republican thug and everyone in the Congress who supports him? What's it going to take for us to rid ourselves of this war criminal? The grandson of a man who financed the rise of Nazism and the construction of and operation of death camps that resulted in the deaths of 6 million Jews. What's it going to take? Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right. Bush, making the statements that he made addressing the Israeli parliament about Democrats, and by implication Barack Obama, since he is the only candidate. Hillary Clinton wants to, what was her word, obliterate Iran. McCain is a war lover. Because he has an awful lot of pent-up rage left over from Vietnam. Barack Obama is the only candidate in this three-way race who has said, for the record anyway, we don't know if it's true, but he said it, and he has reiterated that position, that sitting down and talking with one's adversaries or enemies, even though they may be self-created, is probably better than just dropping bombs on them. As a first option. Now, to an entire generation of Americans, that's a radical idea. Sit down and talk. Sit down and talk. And that generation includes 71-year-old McCain and 60-year-old Hillary Clinton. So Bush's statement to the Israeli Knesset was directed directly, bullseye, at Barack Obama, and is a harbinger of what's going to happen in the fall campaign. If Obama is the nominee, as he is now the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, you know what they're going to do. It's really going to be rotten and smelly, ghoulish, but this is what Republicans do. This is what Republicans do. So McCain, being a Republican, McCain is the real appeaser here. McCain is the real Neville Chamberlain, because it is McCain who was brutalized by the Bush campaign in 2000 in South Carolina. Brutalized. He, his wife, and his child. Brutalized by these sons of bitches, and then turns around and sucks up to George Bush with his hugs and his kisses and his crotch grabbing and ass slapping that is such a familiar thing to people in their generation. McCain is the Chamberlain. And by the way, we may play this tonight. It runs 5 minutes. what's his name, Tweety Bird, had as a guest on Kevin James, some half-witted talk show host in L.A., who starts screaming, as these right-wing talk show hosts do, about Bush was correct in his assessment. And even Chris Matthews tries to pin it. We may play some of that for you. Have you got that where we can play it? We may play some of it for you in a little bit later. But John McCain now has issued a statement referring to Bush's comments. McCain responded to something Pat Buchanan said on Morning Joe. I guess it was Morning Joe this morning. This neo-Nazi right-wing program hosted by Joe Scarborough. Buchanan wanted to know if Senator McCain, quote, would endorse this statement about Barack Obama, that in effect he's an appeaser. Well, today McCain confirmed that he would. New York Times is reporting that McCain wholeheartedly endorsed Bush's veiled rebuke at Obama. Talking to reporters this morning, McCain said, quote, yes, there have been appeasers in the past, and the president is exactly right, and one of them is Neville Chamberlain. I believe that it's not an accident that our hostages came home from Iran when President Reagan was president of the United States. He didn't sit down in a negotiation with the religious extremists in Iran. He made it very clear that those hostages were coming home, end quote. Now, I have respect for people who are suffering from dementia because it's a hell of a way to end your life. I've had one, possibly two family members die of Alzheimer's. It was either Alzheimer's or advanced paranoid delusional schizophrenia. We didn't have an autopsy done on either one of them, so we're not sure. And mental illness is rampant in my family. But that statement that McCain said, he doesn't believe it's an accident that our hostages came home from Iran when Reagan was president of the United States. He, Reagan, didn't sit down in a negotiation. Hey, dumbass. Hey, dementia boy, Reagan did not have to negotiate with Iran during the hostage crisis of the 70s because he wasn't involved in it. He wasn't president, you crazed old man. Jimmy Carter was. And the extensive negotiations you refer to, old man, was done out in the open by members of the Carter administration, behind the scenes, by the filthy pigs who ran Ronald Reagan. Hold on to the hostages, boys, until after this election, and keep giving us weapons, and we'll give you money, and then you can set them free. Huh? Keep doing it. Reagan's inauguration occurred minutes before the hostages were released. Ronald Reagan, this half-assed movie actor, never had anything to do with sitting down with the religious extremists in Iran and negotiating. Why doesn't John McCain know that? Or does he? And just assumes you don't. It's astonishing. I have nothing against old people. I hope I get to become one. But John McCain, there is something slightly nauseating that makes you want to turn away when someone like McCain makes a statement like that. When someone like Bush makes a statement like he made in the Israeli Knesset, you kind of sit back, wrap your arms around yourself and grip yourself very tightly so that you don't do something that will attract the ever vigilant eyes of the Secret Service. But when John McCain says something like this, you sit there, I sit here, and scratch my head or other body parts and say, what the hell is he talking about? Reagan had nothing to do with the seizure. In 1979, Carter was president. And what Reagan probably never understood was it might have been payback for our installation of the Shah in 1954 after we overthrew the freely elected government of the country of Iran in 1953 and replaced him with a dictator who then developed SAVAK, the Iranian Secret Service terrorist organization. But McCain, what does McCain say? Well, my friends, when Reagan was president, my friends, he didn't sit down, my friends, in a negotiation with the religious extremists in Iran, my friends. He made it very clear that those hostages were coming home, my friends. No, he didn't, you senile old bastard. He didn't at all. Some of the neo-Nazi pigs running his campaign got word, like, let me guess, I know, George Herbert Walker Bush, who engineered and attended a meeting in where? Lisbon? London? Who cares? We'll never know. With people like Monikur Golbanifar and a bunch of Middle Eastern, and some of them Israelis, because it was the Israelis who brokered the deal to hand off missiles to the Iranians in exchange for cash, which was then used eventually by Oliver North to fund terrorist organizations in Central America. You see how tight these circles are? And John McCain doesn't know about this? John McCain is not aware that Ronald Reagan did not negotiate with anybody because 2 minutes after he took the oath to become president of the United States, the hostages were released via a prenuptial, if you will, agreement between the Republicans, the Israelis, and the Iranians. Anybody who votes for John McCain is, fill in the blank.
On the day the Nazi died, the world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
We share a vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security.
Yeah, of course. All right, Chuckle Nuts in Israel today addressing the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. I'm amazed that members of the Knesset, especially those not associated with Likud, did not get up and walk out when this corrupted son of a bitch made the statements he made, comparing Democrats in this country, a huge number of whom are Jewish, with Nazi appeasers. I'm stunned. I am absolutely stunned at the silence. Silence. Somebody should notify the Jewish members of the Knesset, which is what, almost all of them. Someone should notify them of a slogan that was popular, if that's the right word, on T-shirts a few years ago regarding AIDS. The slogan was, silence equals death. I'm astonished at the silence in the Israeli Knesset when George Bush made the following statement.
Jews and Americans have seen the consequences of disregarding the words of leaders who espouse hatred. And that is a mistake the world must not repeat in the 21st century. Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them they have been wrong all along. We've heard this foolish delusion before. As Nazi tanks crossed into Poland in 1939, an American senator declared, "Lord, if I could only have talked to Hitler, all this might have been avoided." We have an obligation to call this what it is: the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history.
And he gets applause. Well, your Secretary of Defense, President Dumbass, is suggesting just such conversations with those that you label as terrorists and radicals. In addition to Barack Obama. And as far as some of these terrorist leaders that Bush refers to, can we please keep in mind who provided them with the means to become powerful to begin with? Whether it was Noriega or Saddam Hussein or the Shah of Iran or Osama bin Laden, the list, or the Marcos family. I'm not going to sit here and give you the entire list. You have your own list, I'm sure. Batista, just on and on. Who gave them the power, chuckle nuts, to become what they became against their own people? Oh, that's right. We did. We did. Will Bunch, writing for the Philadelphia Daily News, goes one step further and says Bush committed political treason today. He said, "I've seen a lot of sad things in American politics in my lifetime. The resignation of a president who became a national disgrace after he oversaw a campaign of break-ins and cover-ups. Another who circumvented the Constitution to trade arms for hostages and yet is now hailed as a national hero. And those pale to what we've seen in the last 7 years. Flagrant disregard for the Constitution, the launching of a so-called preemptive war on false pretenses, and discussions about torture and other abuses inside the White House inner sanctum. And now it's come to this, a new low that I never imagined was even possible. President Bush went on foreign soil today and committed what I consider an act of political treason, comparing the candidate of the U.S. opposition party to appeasers of Nazi Germany in the very nation that was carved out from the horrific calamity of the Holocaust." As a believer in free speech, Will Bunch writes, "I think Bush has the right to say what he wants, but as the President of the United States who swore to uphold the Constitution, his freedom also carries an awesome and solemn responsibility. And what this president said today is a serious breach of that high moral standard." And he goes on, Will Bunch does. But Will Bunch doesn't say anything that you don't already know or I don't already know. This is what the United States has been reduced to in the hands of people like Dick Cheney and George Bush. This. When we come back after this break, I want you to hear this gibbering crazy man from KRLA 870 AM in Los Angeles, who apparently is on after we are, a different station. Kevin James, never heard of him, but there he is on Hardball with Chris Matthews today. I don't know how much of this will play, but you got to hear some of it. Even Tweety Bird starts to lose it on this freak. Who is Kevin James?
Focused coalition effort in the region against peace.
Against peace, yeah, of course. Regarding John McCain, Steve in L.A. writes, what the F is up with McCain family eyes? Cindy looks like an effing snake. John has eyes like a shark, black, empty, and soulless. I can imagine him ripping my throat out while maintaining his blank stare with my blood dripping from his swollen cheek as he calmly, in dulcet robotic tones, says that he wants peace. This dude is officially the scariest blank walking the planet. I love George Romero zombie movies. I just don't want to live in one. Speaking of L.A., apparently there's something out there named Kevin James who has a talk radio program, and somehow it got invited onto Chris Matthews' Hardball to comment today on Bush's statement about Nazi appeasers. Now, I am not a fan of Tweety Bird. I don't like him. But you got to hear this.
I want to do a little history check on you because the president's referring to history. He attacked those who would imitate Senator William Boer of Idaho, who was a Republican isolationist back in the late 30s, who supported whatever, some notion of getting along with Hitler better. Let me ask you, what did Neville Chamberlain do wrong in 1939? What did he do wrong?
It all goes back to appeasement.
No, what did he do? Tell me what he did.
It's the key term.
You have to answer this question. What did he do?
It's the same thing. It puts it all...
Well, tell me what he did.
Talking about appeasement.
What did Chamberlain do wrong?
His actions enabled, energized, legitimized. It's the exact same
thing. I'm not going to continue with this interview unless you answer what that thing is. What did Chamberlain do in 39? Tell me.
Chris, it's the exact same thing.
What did he do?
What, 38, 39, Chris? What year do you want?
What did he do?
It's the exact same thing that happened, Chris.
What did Chamberlain do?
He's talking about appeasement.
All right. What did Chamberlain do? Just tell me what he did, Kevin. What did Chamberlain do you didn't like?
Look.
What did he do?
What the president was talking about? You just said the president was talking about Barack. Look,
You're making a reference to the days before our involvement in World War II when the war in Europe began. I want you to tell me, as an expert, what did Chamberlain do wrong?
Look, you're not going to box me in here, Chris. President Bush was making that. I'm glad.
Neville Chamberlain
was an appeaser, Chris. He was an appeaser, and it energized,
Kevin James, what did Neville Chamberlain do?
Chris, may I try to answer?
He doesn't know.
Chris,
you
can I answer?
You are BSing me. You are talking about a very critical point in American history and European history, and you can't tell me what Neville Chamberlain did at Munich. What did he do in 38?
I wasn't the one that raised the Hitler comment. My point is, what President Bush...
Who is this dumb little bastard?
You don't know what you're talking about, Kevin.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Tell me what Chamberlain did wrong.
Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, Chris.
What did he do?
Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, all right?
What did he do?
Neville Chamberlain, his policies, the things that Neville Chamberlain supported, energized, legitimized, and made it easier for Hitler to advance in the ways that he advanced.
I've been sitting here for 5 minutes asking you to say what the president was referring to in 1938 at Munich.
I don't know.
Okay, that's enough. This goes on and on. It goes on and on, but that's enough. This dumb little thing, this Kevin James thing, did you hear that? Is that the kind of talk radio y'all have in Los Angeles? Some little half-witted jerk like this who can't, you know, again, as far as Tweety Bird is concerned, you know, he's a real pisser to me, but this thing called Kevin James, what is this? This guy who, how old is he, 19? He doesn't have a clue. But this is so typical. I have been on television programs. This is why I don't go anymore, because they usually find some half-ass like this and stick him on so that he can make these noises. That is absolutely nonsensical. This is the kind of talk radio y'all have in L.A.?
You know what that reminded me of? Tribal sovereignty is when you have a tribe and it's sovereign, and sovereign tribes are tribal sovereignty. And
yeah,
like that.
But bring that. Wait a minute. You still got that queued up? Go ahead. Just start it up again. We've had 3 minutes and 22 seconds of it. Go ahead.
Help him out with some history here.
Kevin, please.
This is pathetic.
Kevin, you should probably
even
be
know
quiet.
What Chamberlain did in Munich.
Kevin, when you're in a hole, stop digging. Chris, the reason that you exposed him.
I mean, he's
him,
as bad as the White House press secretary that doesn't even know what the Cuban Missile Crisis
correct. The
was.
Reason you exposed
We're talking
him,
with people with blank slates
what,
in terms of
what
history.
President
here.
Bush and Kevin apparently are interested in. Excuse me. What they're interested in is rhetoric and not reality.
Oh, my God. He's like a rabid rat, slander. This guy.
Yitzhak Rabin, the former general and prime minister of Israel, who understands terrorism and war better than President Bush, famously said you have to negotiate not only with your friends, but especially with your right. enemies. So Israel did negotiate, not appease, negotiate with a former enemy, Egypt, successfully, former enemy, Jordan.
Come on, bring the little rat back. Come on, rat. Start squealing again.
Diplomacy.
Go, rat.
And common security in a world of terrorism, proliferation, and pollution. It's not a four-letter word. It's called diplomacy, and the next president will do it. Rather than militarism first, it'll be talk first.
If you can't, but
who is that, Lanny Davis?
Talk,
listen,
without
listen.
Talking through strength. All right. What happened right. to us in 9/11 is because all Bill Clinton did for years was we were attacked. Over and over and over
right,
again.
All right, that's all enough. Right, cut this son of a bitch off. Get rid of this piece of human waste. I mean, conservatives have a bottomless supply of this. Somebody please in L.A. call this little twit up and tell him that what Bill Clinton did the first time the World Trade Center was bombed was track down, arrest, try, convict, and jail for the rest of their goddamn lives the people, the blind Egyptian sheikh and the people who, according to testimony, brought the plot to fruition. How do the people in Los Angeles tolerate some ignorant little twit like Kevin James? How do you all do it? How do you do it? People in Los Angeles, how do you do it? This guy makes dirt look intelligent and loquacious. How do you do it? This is the first guy in media history who ever made Chris Matthews look brilliant. My God, that's talk radio in L.A.? Local talk radio? Whew. Jesus God. Oh, well. I don't know why I'm surprised. That's the kind of garbage that saturates the airwaves in this country 24/7, coast to coast, border to border, because that kind of crapola is not the least bit threatening to corporate America. Whatever radio station or syndicator or network puts on a piece of human waste and idiocy like a Kevin James and then sits back and says, well, we've now got our 9 to 11 slot filled, ought to lose their license. Not because this twit says anything that should result in the loss of his license, but because he is so damn stupid, just so totally stupid. And remember, ignorance is curable. Stupid is terminal. Is that I'm astonished. L.A. is the second largest media market in the country, and that kind of garbage goes out over your airwaves? You're kidding me. My God. Our military affairs correspondent, Sharon, sent this in with a comment. Comment is, do they need any volunteers? The story is John Conyers, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, saying someone's got to kick Rove's ass. The Politico.com reports that today, and apparently it was on the House floor when Conyers was overheard revealing his strategy for investigating Karl Rove. As they report it, quote, just off the House floor today, the crypt overheard House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers tell two other people, we're closing in on Rove, someone's got to kick his ass. Asked a few minutes later for a more official explanation, Conyers told us that Rove has a week to appear before his committee. If he doesn't, said Conyers, quote, we'll do what any self-respecting committee would do. We'll hold him in contempt, either that or go and have him arrested, end quote. Please, John, please. I mean, out of respect for just the little shards and shreds of morality that the Democratic Party still makes claim to, arrest this bastard. Arrest this bastard. Bring him in chains. Throw him on the floor in front of your committee. Don't let this little piglet even sit there. Throw him on the floor. Point fingers at him and say, Jacques Hughes! And then make him explain. Make him explain about his role in the imprisonment of former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman, among other things. Bring him in! Bring him in!
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you when the men hurt.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Well, you ask a question, you get an answer. Kevin James got a couple of emails here. This is from George in Alhambra, California. Mike, I live in the greater L.A. area. Yes, it's true. He really, really, really is on the air. I'm not kidding. I've run across this program while in the car in the late evenings. I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I hear him. He doesn't sound any brighter when broadcasting his own program than he did on Hardball. By the way, he's on the same station as Michael Medved, Bill Bennett, and other right-wing mental giants. It's all very sad, but true. This one, I don't know which. You got to include your name, folks. This one is subject line, watch such dreck on LA radio. We have 95 stations in this market. There has to be something to fill the airtime, so we get the good and the stupid, too. This is from Robert regarding Kevin James. Mike, if you only knew, that isn't James at his worst. He used to be on the graveyard shift on Hate Radio, KABC, the station that gives us Hannity, Oral Aid, Larry Elder, etc., and his whole show is based upon the fear of the Mexican menace. That was his trademark, and the evil brown people coming into the country to take over our language, our culture, and political scene. He was so enraged by the Reconquistas that he featured members of groups even Lou Dobbs would never touch. He is, in short, a stupid, nasty jerk, and sadly, the rednecks out here, and believe me, we have plenty, drink it up. Well, here's one of those rednecks. This is from Cool M Quick at AOL.com. Cool, COOLEM Quick at AOL.com. He writes, Kevin James has a great show in Los Angeles. He's leading the fight against the illegal alien subhuman mongrels. That's not how you spell mongrels, you dumbass. James is a former U.S. attorney. Kevin James for president, militarize the border, deport all the illegals, and then kill all the others that are caught. Death to Islam and death to the Democrats. Up your rectum, you communist limp wrist. That's a Kevin James listener. Yeah, I'm not allowed to say the A word. I can say it then? Oh, okay. No, I didn't think so. Jean-Michel writes, Mike and Kathy, I'm a fan from L.A. I'm listening to the show and never heard of Kevin James. He's a talk show host on a conservative radio station that no one knows about. I'm an atheist, and I just called my atheist friends to listen to you. None of us have heard of this brain-dead Kevin James or KRLA, so please don't equate us with him. L.A. is very progressive. And we love Mike Malloy here. Peace. Jesus God. You should hear the rest of that. That runs about 5.5 minutes during the break with Kathy and I. Listen to the rest of it, where Chris Matthews just lays it out, you know, and says, "You don't know what you're talking about, you stupid little twit." Oh, well. Irv in Chicago writes in about what Bush said today, a rather lengthy email. I'll just share this with you. Elie Wiesel won the 1986 Nobel Peace Prize for his works about silent indifference. He was in the Knesset today listening to the speech by Bush. It was an insult to Wiesel, Israel, and the memory of the Holocaust to allow the grandson of a Nazi collaborator to speak those words. I am embarrassed for the inaction of the people in the Israeli government who abandoned the memory of 6 million dead by not speaking out. Irv in Chicago, who, by the way, is Jewish. Yeah, the opposite of hate, the opposite of love is indifference. Who said that? Was that Hannah Arendt when she wrote about Eichmann's trial and Adolf Eichmann? The opposite of love is indifference. I don't know why that comes to mind, but it does. It does. All right. Coming up after this break. Oh my God! We're almost at the end of the second hour. Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? We have a couple more things to share with you. An internal email from the Veterans Administration telling the staff of the VA, quote, to refrain from giving a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder straight out, end quote. And what Vote Vets and crew is Citizens for Ethical, or Citizens for Ethics. It's citizensforethics.org. If you don't have that website in your favorite places, you ought to put it in there, citizensforethics.org. And, of course, votevets.org you should have also. But jointly, these two organizations, citizensforethics.org and votevets.org, released an email obtained from a VA employee directing VA staff to refrain from diagnosing soldiers and veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. This, you know, it's just outrage upon outrage upon outrage. And also the arrests, the immigration, what is it, ICE, what the hell does that stand for? Immigration Enforcement, immigration, what does the C stand for? Come on, Kathy. Immigration police that swept into this town, Postville, Iowa, the other night. We mentioned it just briefly on the air. Oh, my God, is this story turning into something? As Prairie 2 writes, ICE swept in with 700 warrants out of 900 workers. 400 had been rounded up and 300 slipped away. The town only had a population of 2,500. Local real estate agent estimates 90% of rental housing is now deserted. Those arrests are being held at a fairgrounds in Waterloo, Iowa, a few blocks from a much larger Tyson plant that has attracted no interest from the feds, but everybody is nervous. Now, what is interesting about this meatpacking plant, it's a kosher meatpacking plant owned and operated by Orthodox Jews, and some of the rabbis that work there in the process of producing kosher meat are also illegal immigrants. You're not going to believe this. Oh, wait till I tell you the part about the methamphetamine laboratory that was operating in the kosher meat plant. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Oh my God. 7 past the hour. Sounds like that thing, Kevin James. Where do they get roadkill like that to go into radio? Sounds like him talking about appeasement. Bush talking about sovereignty. Oh, my God. CitizensForEthics.org and VoteVets.org released an email obtained from a VA employee. On March 20th, 2008, a VA hospital's post-traumatic stress disorder program coordinator, the person who is supposed to be in charge of taking care of the people coming back from both Iraq wars, any other conflicts the psychopaths who run this country have sent our soldiers to, and even still Vietnam, probably a couple left over from Korea, the person charged with taking care of these people, the PTSD program coordinator, sent the email that I'm about to read to you to a number of VA employees, including psychologists, social workers, and a psychiatrist, stating that due to an increased number of, quote, compensation-seeking veterans, end quote. Oh, my God. That the staff should, quote, refrain from giving a diagnosis of PTSD straight out, end quote, and they should rule out PTSD and consider a diagnosis of, quote, adjustment disorder, end quote, instead. Son of a bitch. It's unbelievable. Crew, Citizens for Ethics, sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the VA asking for all records pertaining to any guidance given regarding the diagnosis of PTSD. The request can be found at their website, citizensforethics.org. I will probably post it at my website tonight when the program's over. Melanie Sloan, who is the executive director of Citizens for Ethics, said today, quote, it is outrageous that the VA is calling on its employees to deliberately misdiagnose returning veterans in an effort to cut costs. Those who have risked their lives serving the country deserve better. First and foremost, they have a right to expect that they receive diagnoses and treatment based on their symptoms and not on the VA's budget. The VA should immediately reverse this and other similar directives. And John Soltz, who's an Iraq War veteran and chairman of VoteVets.org, added this, quote, this is an issue I take personally. I know many people who received a diagnosis of so-called adjustment disorder who strongly felt they had PTSD, many of whom confirmed that suspicion with an independent diagnosis. Many veterans believe that the government just doesn't want to pay out the disability that comes along with a PTSD diagnosis, and this revelation will not allay their concerns. It is crucial that we quickly get to the bottom of this and ensure that misdiagnosing veterans is not part of some cost-cutting policy. Now, the only changes I would make in Melanie or John's email is when they talk about VA and government, what they should say is Bush crime family throughout, because every single agency of the U.S. government has now been corrupted almost beyond repair by the Bush crime family, including anything and everything having to do with the veterans that these sons of bitches in the Bush crime family have thrown into the meat chopping machine. And when they don't get completely chopped to bits, they return home. And the Bush crime family makes sure that they are disrespected, disregarded, and dishonored. God damn these people. God damn these people. These Bush crime family people. God damn them. as Jeremiah Wright might have said. God damn them for what they have done and continue to do every single day. And now issuing a directive to medical personnel not to give a correct diagnosis. This is astonishing. Last month, the RAND Corporation released a report that found approximately 300,000 U.S. troops are suffering from major depression or post-traumatic stress disorder from serving in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. 300,000. And the residual effect of PTSD and severe depression is going to affect hundreds of thousands of additional people, wives primarily, a few husbands, children, parents, extended family members, and this filthy, putrid Bush crime family continues. Now the directive to the VA is don't let these sons of bitches, these compensation-seeking veterans, succeed. When our military affairs correspondent Sharon sends me this stuff, and she is dedicated to the idea of an honorable military tradition. And when she sends me this stuff, sometimes she'll add a parenthetical comment, but even when she doesn't, I can just feel the rage that comes through in her emails. And then I read it, and the rage is so easily transferable to me. I read this kind of stuff, and I think, no, this can't be true. These filthy pig Republicans who constantly make the snouting, snorting noises of patriots that they support the U.S. military, when in fact they do not. You heard one of their ilk on Chris Matthews' show that we just played for you. These cretins, these people should be just removed from the society. What good are they doing? What good is the VA hospital's PTSD program coordinator? What good is that person doing by labeling returning veterans compensation-seeking veterans, you know, malingerers, when the country is run by draft-dodging, cowardly bastards who would no more consider military service than they would consider anything honorable. It's astonishing. You going to vote this year? You going to vote? Let me again address some of you whiny-ass Democrats, you Obama supporters and you Hillary supporters who insist that if your candidate doesn't get it, you're going to vote for McCain. Are you really? You know, I can't kick your ass enough here. I really can't. Maybe none of you listen to this program. If that's the case, good. But some of the emails I get from especially Clinton supporters, but a few Obama supporters, with this two-year-old attitude, you know, well, you people have talked down Hillary so much that I'll vote for McCain before I vote for that Obama. Are you really going to do that?
Holds his Jesus' hand. Barbecue, Rob on Barbecue.
man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 20 past the hour. Now, the situation in Postville, Iowa, this is getting curiouser and curiouser. The skinny of the story is that it was raided by immigration enforcement 2 days ago. I believe it was 2 days ago. It's a kosher meatpacking plant in Postville, Iowa. The largest and most reputable kosher meatpacking plant in the United States, and one that is so recognized that kosher meat suppliers in Europe and the UK and other places around the planet buy from this plant in Postville, Iowa. Members of the family that own that plant, that was raided by immigration officials and about 400 people arrested, apparently have contributed thousands of dollars to state Republican candidates, according to records available at followthemoney.org, and also to the Democratic governor, Chet Culver. The raid conducted, I guess it was Monday, was the largest such operation in U.S. history and has resulted in nearly 400 arrests amid allegations of mistreatment of plant employees, below minimum wage, and employment of underage workers. According to the Des Moines Register, the state contributions are in addition to money given by the Rubashkin family members in Postville to multiple federal Republican candidates and party committees in Iowa and elsewhere, including the Republican Party of Iowa and the National Republican Congressional Committee. Shalom Rubashkin of Postville, a member of the family that runs the company, it's called Agriprocessors Incorporated, in 2006 gave $22,500 to former Representative Jim Nussel, the Republican in Iowa, for his bid for governor. There are no limits on contributions to state candidates, unlike federal law. Nussel, who lost to the current governor, Chet Culver, now is a top member of the Bush administration, serving as director of the Office of Management and Budget. A second family member that owns this kosher meatpacking plant, Abraham Rubashkin, who has addresses listed in both Postville and Brooklyn, gave $7,500 to the Nussel campaign. And you can get all this at followthemoney.org. Earlier in 2002, Shalom Rubashkin contributed $10,000 to another unsuccessful Republican candidate for governor, Doug Gross of Des Moines. Family members also made contributions to two Democratic statewide candidates, Governor Chet Culver and Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge, yada, 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 yada. It just goes on and on. So obviously these people were protected. For some reason, somebody forgot to tell the Immigration Service that they were paying protection money to all sorts of Republicans and therefore should have been exempt from this raid. Somebody forgot to tell the Bush crime family's corrupted Immigration and Naturalization Service, which now goes by the acronym ICE, that they were protected. You know, this is awful. This is like one crime family in, pick a city, New York, Chicago, whatever. One crime family that provides protection to the, pick an industry, the dry cleaning industry, and forgets to tell a neighboring crime family that the dry cleaning industry already is paying off for protection, so leave them alone. Now, the owners of this meatpacking plant admitted in court last year that many of the workers in its New York distribution center, see, the meatpackers are out in Iowa, the distribution center's in New York, that many of their workers were in the United States illegally. That admission came about because the owners of agriprocessors were trying to block an effort by the workers in forming a union. This is called cutting your own throat in order to spite your elbow or something to that effect. I'm not sure. The company contended that many of the employees at the Brooklyn Distribution Center had improperly voted in favor of union representation and therefore were not protected by the National Labor Relations Act because They were undocumented immigrants. Well, that doesn't that mean that the owners who hired them were violating federal law? Oh, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia rejected that argument and validated the union vote of the workers. The court said, quote, their votes are just as valid as legal workers, end quote. The court went on to say, while undocumented aliens may face penalties for violating immigration laws, they should receive the same wages and benefits as legal workers, face the same working conditions, answer to the same supervisors, and possess the same skills and duties, end quote. But the owners of this company, in order to deny the workers union representation, blew the whistle on themselves. Jeez. Oh, my God. Now, in addition to all this, federal authorities who raided this place, this is according to JTA. It's JTA.org. It says Jewish and Israel News. What they say is federal authorities charged that a methamphetamine lab was operating at the nation's largest kosher slaughterhouse and that employees carried weapons to work. It charges were among the most explosive details to emerge following the massive raid Monday of agri-processors in Postville, Iowa. According to the application, a former plant supervisor told investigators that some 80% of the workforce was illegal, including rabbis responsible for kosher supervision, who the source believed entered the United States from Canada without proper immigration documents. Oh, my God. I don't know. I feel like I live in a rubber bungalow. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
One day those tough faces will be withered up and bent. Father, Son, the Holy Warriors, and the President. The glory days of put up dukes for all the world to see. Beaten into submission in the name of the free.
From the moment you wake, you leave the house in the morning. The terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your backseat in bed. Wear a bucket on your head, that's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, all the treasuries being bled. Keep a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes, they'll just tell us what we see.
It's about 25, excuse me, 25 before the hour. A couple of emails here regarding the DA story. This is from Jeff. Hi, Mike. I'm a psychiatrist at a local DA hospital. Don't want to say where. And a regular listener to your show. All of us in our department are aware of the desire to water down diagnoses of PTSD, but we ignore it. The pressure is being generated by the military. There are psychiatrists within the military who are working with the American Psychiatric Association to make the diagnosis of PTSD more restrictive. We, in our department, appropriately diagnose PTSD. Further, I have made the diagnosis of PTSD in many Vietnam vets not previously diagnosed and have encouraged them to pursue compensation. I would guess that our experience is true in the majority of mental health clinics within the VA system. I would guess it's analogous to the experience of NASA scientists being told not to speak of environmental destruction by some pissant who lied about having a degree. Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Bridget writes, Mike, the denial of appropriate diagnosis to keep veterans from claiming benefits is bad enough, but the damage that misdiagnosis does to the patient is the worst of all. Someone suffering from the symptoms of PTSD or major depression feels more than anything else confusion and shame because they know that they are not in control of their minds or their moods. When they are told that they suffer from a condition, it's called PTSD. And these are the symptoms, and this is the treatment. There is such relief to know that what's wrong has a name, like measles or cancer, and that there is something that could be done about it. When that correct diagnosis is denied, then the patient continues to feel as though somehow the strange things in their mind or behavior prove that they are bad or deviant or crazy. And any hope of recapturing their lives goes down the drain. It's not just the money, it's their lives and their families' lives. I hate these people, Mike. I just hate these people. I hate them more than you do. No, I hate them more than you. No, I hate them. No, I understand. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This, the bloody, vicious, violent hypocrisy of Republicans and this administration. I think about that filthy puke Don Rumsfeld. Why is that guy not in prison somewhere? Why is he not tried and convicted and treated the way the Nazi high command was treated in Nuremberg? I hate to keep coming back to the Nazi model, but what the hell else are we supposed to use? Bush uses it, our fearless leader, the grandson of a man who enabled the Nazis to execute 6 million Jews. And the nerve of, I can't get over this. He's in the Israeli parliament talking this crap. But the fact that Republicans have used this the same way they've used the issue of a woman's right to medical privacy, the issue of gay marriage, the issue of gay rights, the issue of the rights of minorities, the issue of the rights of people in this country. I don't give a goddamn if they're here legally or illegally. You know, I live in Georgia, so the folks who live in the southwestern part of the United States, you don't have anything on us where it concerns massive illegal immigration. It's happening here, too. But these are human beings. These are people. They're people. And these phony-ass populists like Lou Dobbs and the rest of these people who are screaming that human beings, because of their legal status, should not be treated as human beings, turn my stomach. But it doesn't make any difference what the issue is. Immigration. A woman's right to privacy. Gay rights. The rights of veterans, for Christ's sake. How low can Republicans go? Does anybody, is there anyone left in the country except the brain-dead Republican trolls that continue to vote for these pigs? Is there any normal human being left in America with average or above intelligence who doesn't understand that Republicans do not have any claim on leadership? Do not have any claim on moral or ethical behavior. They are scum. This is what happens. This is the toilet. This is where political ideas that are so antithetical to human life and decency and integrity, this is where it's all swept. This is the open sewer into which you sweep this. It's called the Republican Party. My God, which is not to say that I fall down at the altar of Democrats. You know my feeling about Democrats. But the worst Democrat on the worst day in the Democratic Party's history is 1,000 feet, 1,000 miles above the most shining example of Republican slime. So you hate these people, Bridget? Do you? So do I. I know. I'm sorry. Let's get to Stephen, KTLK, listening on KTLK in Burbank. I'm sorry for all the long hold. Hello, Stephen.
That's okay, Mike. I just want to give a shout-out to Ian Huff for his kindness, his patience, and his excellent sense of humor.
Isn't he a good guy?
I just love him. He's great.
He is.
And while we're on shout-out, Jean-Michel is one of our favorite callers here in K-Talk land.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy, too. I'd like this, Spoo from Silmar or Stan or whatever. Never mind. He right. calls in, and Mario just chews him a new one. It's even fun, you know? It's even fun.
Yeah, well, that's the first time I've gotten an email from, is it Jean-Michel?
Yes.
That's the first time I got an email, and I'm very pleased to have gotten. I'm glad he's listening.
Yeah, and when I got to meet Mario personally, the Rose Bowl, I looked and he was one of the callers on a sheet that Misty had written down.
Huh.
And
right.
Mario turned me into a corporate shill. I took a ride in the Saturn, you know, and talked it up on the air and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, what the hell.
Well, I think he knows I'm not serious about accusing him of, you know, of corrupting me into a corporate shill or anything like that.
I hear you. But what you really called about?
Was California.
Yeah.
So goes California, so goes the rest of the nation, hopefully. And, you know, it shouldn't even have been an issue in the first place. People are people, humans are humans, and the Constitution is the Constitution.
Right, right.
And when we heard the news, my wife, having an IQ of 153 and also a sense of humor, said, heard this right-wing idiot valley girl, you know, yakety-yak about, oh, there goes traditional marriage, you know.
Right,
she
right.
Thought, now we're going to have to get divorced and marry someone of our own gender. And I said, don't worry about it. I have a Kaiser Permanente card that says I'm a female. Thanks to corporate incompetence. Oh, you're laughing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and, you know, Ian also tried to prod me to not do my hit-and-run tactic, you know, just yakety-yak and then hang up. And
yeah.
So he talked me into going on about the spineless Democrats.
Okay,
you know?
Let her rip.
And I said, well, I'm not going to try and defend them, you know, but I have a theory as to why they do what they do.
Yeah.
Now, I heard this just the other day from another caller. It was my idea in the first place. I never heard it before. I thought it up, and I floated around, and everybody, nah, nah, nah. And I even wrote an email to Randy, not an email, a snail mail to Randy Rhodes saying, look, here's why Democrats don't impeach, because Cheney will be impeached, go to the Senate, and then the 67 senators will vote to convict, therefore looking like they're strong on crime, you know. They're not weak on crime.
That's
and then they get reelected for being high and moral and all that other good stuff.
Well, that's what the Republicans who were in the Senate during the Nixon the hearings in the House Judiciary Committee during the Nixon era. It was Republicans who finally went to Nixon and said, "You're toast. Get out of here."
Yep.
It was Republicans, not Democrats. Too bad that kind of attitude of the Republican Party is as far gone as George W. Bush's grandfather helping to build the death camps in Poland and Germany.
When I get noise from right-wing clowns, I just say, go Google Bush, Bin Laden, Carlyle Group.
Yeah, that's
it. And it's that simple. But this letter I sent to Randy, it was postmarked 3 days before Conyers got that Kucinich special rule. I forget if it's 333 or 799. In the letter, I told her, do not be surprised to see Republicans voting for impeachment or voting for conviction. And while that was going on, 3 days later, Randy was all just screaming. She said she'd never seen anything like it in her whole life. Republicans were voting to not kill the bill. They voted to put it into Conyers' lap, and he's sitting on it.
Well, let's hope that Conyers has the spine to do something. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for checking in. Take care. Lauren in Canada writes, the subject line is Oy Vey, and she writes, Mike, I have this picture in my head of a group of Hasidic rabbis from Montreal sneaking into the U.S. to illegally declare meat kosher. It reminds me of a weird French movie I saw 100 years ago called The Mad Adventures of Rabbi Jacob. No wonder you guys think we are harboring terrorists here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Before the hour, Q Ken in Palmetto Bay, Florida, writes regarding the rabbis in the meth lab and the kosher slaughterhouse. Mike, I really wonder if kosher crystal meth is blessed and worth the extra money. You people are just so cynical. You really are. I don't know where you get it. I really don't. We on this program, we try to do away with cynicism and offer bluebirds and rainbows and happiness. And I get emails like that. Shame on you. Dan in Garden Grove, California writes, Mike, you do great work. Thanks very much. Well, that's, thank you, Dan. L.A. has a huge fascist right-wing radio market. I was going to list the channels and propagandists, but you seem to have them covered. On the other hand, we have 1150 AM KTLK with you, Randy Rhodes, and Tom Hartman, and 90.7 FM KPFK Pacifica Radio with the greatest progressive program in the country, including Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! We also have a couple of NPR stations that sometimes serve the public interest when they're not sucking up to Pentagon spokespeople. The rabid right has spent decades investing in building a propaganda wing on AM radio and have been very successful. Liberals have a long way to go. KTLK and KPFK are a great start. Please give a shout-out for KPFK.org to support light-minded programming, and let's break this virtual right-wing monopoly. As a liberal, I have faith in people and their intelligence. Once they hear the fact-based programming, they will and do reject the crazies like Limbaugh, Hannity, and O'Reilly. Dan in Garden Grove. Thanks, Dan. Oh, yeah. Thanks to the crew here at the home office in Phoenix. Well, I'm not in Phoenix, but at the, well, half the crew isn't. Oh, damn, never mind. Ian Huff, who now has a fan club of at least one, who engineered the program and answers your calls. Billy Foster, our genius technical director. Ben Birch, the podcast manager. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence. And Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent. All of whom work under the firm yet very soft hand of our exalted leader, the executive producer, Catherine Bay. And if I haven't mentioned it lately, do become a Nova M founding member. I told the managers of this network that the $10,000 drawing was not the reason that so many people signed up to become members, 5,000 people. It's over that now. That it was, in fact, because you want to support Nova M. And they said, well, then talk it up and let's see if we can get another 5,000. So that's what I'm trying to do. All right? Go to NovaMradio.com. Check it out. See what you, cast your bread upon the water. Some people say you get back soggy bread, but not necessarily so. If you cast your bread upon the NovaMradio.com waters, you'll get all kinds of things that aren't. Just check it out, okay? Thank you very much. Michael is calling from New York City, listening on the Internet, holding on for over 2 hours. Sorry, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
It's interesting. There are so many topics you've covered by this point. But did you hear that, I don't know whether you mentioned this at any point, but John Conyers wrote a letter to Bush basically threatening impeachment over any attack on Iran?
We talked about it briefly a week or so ago when it was made public.
I thought it on Democratic Underground about 2 days, 3 days ago. Maybe that was already been up there for a while. So.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but I don't know. You know, I'm starting to think, especially, you know, I originally wanted to talk about Chris Matthews, but you covered that pretty well, and that was very amusing. I'm starting to think maybe there's a crack in the armor. We might actually be able to believe that there could be a normal legal succession of the presidency.
Well, that may be possible, given the fact that I think even psychopaths like Cheney understand that of the 300-plus million of us out here, there are enough of us who believe in liberty and the Constitution and are heavily armed that if an attempt is made to thwart the will of the people, there will be bloody hell to pay in this country. There will be bloody hell to pay in this country. So given that, as part of the hope in the reality-based community, that's people like you and me, maybe the fantasy-based community, that would be Cheney and Bush and the rest of these pigs, understand that the game is up. Put a fork in it. It's time to suck up all the money they have stolen and go home and hope that the Democrats don't pursue them.
You know, but the scenario I've been worried about for quite a while is that close to the end of Bush's presidency, there's an attack on Iran, and then as a result of...
Yeah, there'd be demonstrations, and then martial law, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, we'll cancel the elections for the moment.
Postpone
them, you know. I mean...
I can tell you fairly confidently, Michael, just based on gut feeling, not based on anything I know, based strictly on intuition, gut feeling, and emotion, that if elections in this country were canceled because of an attack on Iran that resulted in demonstrations in the street that in turn resulted in martial law, this country will convulse.
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, that is one that takes it that one step too far, and I think the Cheney Bush cabal understands that.
That's why they've got all these not, you know, less than lethal weapons like tasers, et cetera. That's why they've got all these.
I don't have.
Camps they've been preparing that were created by Halliburton, et cetera.
Right, and I and a lot of Americans don't have less than lethal weapons. We have weapons that are known for their lethality. So, hey, Michael, I got to leave there. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate your patience for holding on as long as you did. And I see a couple of people have been holding on forever. I do apologize, but we're flat out of time. You know what happens sometimes on this program. But try again tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you, okay? Thanks for hanging out and spending some time with us tonight. I appreciate it. Go to NovaMradio.com and check out what we're about if you don't know, okay? I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm Mike Malloy. Take care. Keep it lit. This is Nova M Radio.